Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We're your hosts, Marcin Valle.
And Ross Barber.
Today on the show, we have singer-songwriter Andrew De Leon. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
So, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am good. We went through a little bit of technical issues.
Well, it didn't happen until you wanted to interview me, so it might be my fault.
This is true.
It's never the guest's fault. It's never the guest's fault.
Okay.
Unless your guest is Andrew De Leon.
So, right off the bat, we'd like to ask three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Three things about myself that everyone should know. Ooh, that's weird. Well, a fun fact that a lot of people don't know about me is that my first language was Spanish.
Cool.
And I learned how to speak English. Yeah, in school. So a lot of people don't believe me because I don't have an accent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun fact. I guess the other ones are pretty obvious, you know, that I love music and I love taking care of my family.
Aw, those are awesome.
And my dogs.
You've been singing since you were a child?
I mean, technically, but it wasn't like the way I sing now, at least. It was
right.
Just whatever my dad was playing around the house. It was usually like rock or country music.
Would you say you were exposed to kind of a very diverse early influence of music?
Oh, yeah. It was always like Def Leppard and Pink Floyd. And but he also listened to a lot of like Mexican music along with my mom. So there was lots of styles. And then I was, you know, growing up in the 90s listening to Britney Spears.
right.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was definitely exposed to all that.
You're pretty much just someone who sang in your bedroom, hidden talent, no one ever heard you until you decided to go on America's Got Talent.
Yeah. Two years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what was that like?
Well, I wouldn't even say that it was like me hiding my talent, because I didn't call it a talent. I just thought it was something I did for fun. And what eventually it started off as just being fun for myself, and then it became somewhat of a growing passion. And it was like really, really secret, because I thought it, even for myself to think, it was ridiculous in my mind for a guy to sing that way. So, but I almost didn't go to that audition. Because about a month before, they were holding Disney auditions here in Austin. And I don't know what I was thinking. It was for, like, resorts and all that shit. So I said, whatever, I'll go. And I went. And as soon as we pulled up, I saw the line of kids. And I looked nothing like any of them. Like, they all looked like early Justin Bieber, Hannah Montana shit. And then I looked at myself and I was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. So I didn't even get out of the car. And I had my mom drive me. And she was like, you're not even going to get out of the car. We drove all this way. And I was like, no, fuck this. And she was like, okay. But, you know, anytime there's like another audition or whatever you need to be driven to, I'm not taking you.
Hmm.
And I was like, fine. Well, a month later, on TV, I see, you know, the infomercial for America's Got Talent says, you know, we're in Austin and, you know, if you think you have what it takes, come audition. So I was like, I was really thinking about it, and then I just asked her and she said no, she wasn't going to take me. and then I was like, why? She's like, well, first of all, I don't even know what you're going to do. And second of all, I told you the last time that I'm not taking you to any more auditions because you won't even get out of the car because you're such a chicken shit. And I threw the biggest bitch fit. Like, we got home and I like went, it was like typical angry teenager stuff. I went to my room, slammed the door, and my dad walked in and was like, you know, why are you slamming doors? What's wrong? And I told him, and he was just like, oh, well, I'll take you. And I was like, okay. I go, okay. And that was it.
I won.
Yeah, exactly. But I was so scared before I went. Like, I was texting all my friends, and they were like, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm singing. And they were like, well, what are you singing? I said, that's the problem. I don't really want to say, because if I told people what I was going to do, I feel like they were already going to start judging, and then I would have started doubting myself even more, and then I wouldn't have gone in the first place, you know? So I just kept it a secret, and people don't really believe me when I say that nobody knew about it.
You know what, though? I like that you say that, because I can relate to that. I find that, you know, as an artist, I mean, we're very sensitive, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I often do try to keep what I'm, like, say if I'm working on something new and it's very fresh, I do keep that away from people usually, because we're easy to doubt ourselves, I think. And, I mean, why not just kind of protect yourself from that, keep yourself away from it a little bit, to keep yourself in a positive, you know, state, so that, like you said, you can do what you're doing without having anyone else's negativity go into your mind and kind of mess with that, you know, initial feeling of I'm just gonna go for it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, because it's something that actually, it's what you do as an artist, you know, it means everything to you, and it's actually very easy to hurt an artist's feelings by saying, you know, that something that they created is shit or whatever they're doing, you know what I mean? It's something that I do take to heart. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why I didn't tell anyone, because I had been doing it for years in my bedroom or just around the house when everybody was gone, because I didn't have a job. I wasn't going to school, and my brother and sister were, and my parents had jobs, obviously. So I was at home a lot by myself. So that's really all I did, was just sing every day. I'm pretty sure I probably annoyed the neighbors.
So the neighbors probably knew you sang,
they probably,
but no one else
did.
Knew.
Well, you know, they probably thought I was watching the same movie every day. Like, that's probably what it was. But
so what was it like when you initially went to audition, and then everything that led up to actually being on the show?
Yeah, right. There's, well, actually, that has a lot to do with why people don't believe that it was the first time. There's people don't understand that there is such thing as a producer's audition. Mm-hmm. And so you do go to an audition, but it's very private. And from there, they decide if they want you to go on the show. But of course, it's not like I'm going to go up and say, you know, I've never sung in front of anyone, minus the producer of this show. It's,
yeah,
they
of
don't,
course.
That was one thing. And then it's actually really interesting seeing, like, comments on these videos. I don't read them much because people can be really brutal online. But I've
YouTube's
read some
the
of
worst.
The... Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's just... it's. You know, he's an actor, he doesn't really dress that way, and he's lying, and they probably hired him to make the show better.
Oh,
you know, and it's crazy when you see stuff like that, because I actually think I used to have that mentality when I would watch mm-hmm. these shows. And then I thought I was the only one that was not lying for a while, and I was like, wait a minute, now I get it. You know, this is when it's actually true, and sometimes it seems too good to be true, but it actually is true, you know.
It must be a really weird kind of process, especially if you've not done anything like remotely on that scale before, like just kind of being thrown in, and then all of a sudden people know who you are, and you've just done this big thing. And it must be, was it difficult to like adjust when people started to know who you were? Like, what was that like?
Well, I remember after I auditioned in front of the judges, and you know, they took me backstage and explained everything to me. And then, you know, it was all over, and I walked out of the building, and there were several people out there wanting pictures. And that had never happened to me before. And of course, I was more than happy to. But, you know, I kind of thought, oh, okay, I can, you know, I can work with this. It wasn't until I got to Vegas, not Vegas, it was New York, where it became a little bit overwhelming, and I had to question myself if I was ready for it, because I had just performed that night on the wild card episode, and exiting the building, there were, I think, hundreds of people standing outside the building. They weren't allowed in, but the doors were all glass, so they could see me coming, and they started screaming, and I didn't know what to do. I was so scared. So I just went outside, and I think I stood there for about an hour or two just signing shit and taking
That's
pictures.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, and I was more than happy to do it. You know, I was really I appreciate that kind of stuff, you know?
Of course.
And I walked to my hotel, which was right next door, and went up to my room, and for some reason it was like, you ever heard of like vampirism? Where like your energy is like drained from you?
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Like, I got to my room and I felt physically drained. And it wasn't from the performance at all. It was from meeting, you know, fans.
Right. Well, and, I know people that have had a similar kind of experience. Like when they've played a gig, and it'll be every night on the tour, they maybe spend 45 minutes or so at the merch table signing stuff and meeting their fans. And yeah, afterwards, they're just completely drained. It's like there's all that adrenaline from playing the show, and that kind of fuels them. And then as soon as it's done, like, you can see it in their face. It just, they're done. Like, for the whole day, like, that's it. They're
and
done.
You're giving so much of yourself, right? And, you know, there is a value in that. It's amazing. But, you know, you also, I think that just needs to be balanced out with, I guess, me time. You know, just that little bit of time to just kind of bring yourself to a, like, for me, I do yoga. You know what I mean? What did you do to bring yourself to ground yourself?
Well, as bad as it probably will sound, when it comes to stuff like that, the last thing I want to do is listen to music, because I'm so involved, you know, that, but that time there was actually a little bit of depression in there also, because I didn't know where I was, like, you know, is this going to take off, or is this going to be something that just lasts a little while and then it's gone and no one gives a shit who you are? But if it does take off, you know, is this every day? Is that what it's going to be? And so I think I just went to bed. I just went to bed, and I'm one of those people that likes to, like, fill voids with food. Mm-hmm. And I eat a lot more than people think I do. So that's pretty much what I did in the morning. The next day I didn't have to do anything, so I just went down to the lobby and bought a whole bunch of junk food and went upstairs, stuffed my face. But that's another thing that was actually... that got to me a bit was the next day I didn't have to do anything until the night. And it was after that performance, it was like, okay, now that that performance is over, it's on to the next one. We have to start planning it, you know? So there's really no time to rest. I just had one day, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so it's weird because obviously with the way the shows are edited, as viewers, we probably don't think of it in that way. We don't realize, like, what the schedule's like, and like it, I always hear people, you know, talking about these kind of shows and say, oh, it's like the easy route or whatever, and it's, I don't think it is. Like, it's, I think it's a lot more work than people realize. So you can probably,
I'm gonna be honest to say, I'm someone who thinks that, you know what I mean? I'm on the show right here, I'm gonna tell you, like, I'm someone who thinks, like, it's the easy route, or I've thought that way. I mean, you know, and I mean, I guess the way I'm looking at it is it's just a different route, and there's no really right route. I mean, any way you can get yourself out there, you know, and get some recognition for something that you're doing, it's silly not to, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it's right for everybody.
It's very true, because I've seen the show before, and you think they go audition, and if they make it, you know, it's all done, you know, and then you're famous, and it just, it doesn't work that way. And it's what sucks about it. It's they're herding cattle, in other words. You know, they start with all these talents, and they're all, you know, being shot off one by one, you know, until it's down to the favorites. And if you're one of the favorites, you get more attention from the crew. So I was one of those that got way more attention, and I hate attention. So, you know, when it's like constantly calling me and telling me, okay, you need to be here for this meeting, and then you need to go here for rehearsals, and then stage direction at this time, and then you get like a 30-minute lunch break, and then you got to come back for this and this and this. It's like, ugh, fuck my life, you know? So, but I couldn't complain, because, you know, I think I knew what I was getting myself into. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you were saying, a lot of people think that it's the easy way. And I guess for some people it kind of is, because, you know, if you're usually, even if you don't win these competitions, you're still offered some type of deal. And it didn't work that way with me. I think after the show was over, I was pretty much disposable, and they didn't really want to use me anymore, or you know, help me sign to something or some, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. So after that, I was knocked back down. Still had fans, though, that were very supportive. Mm-hmm. And I had to make a name for myself on my own by booking my own gigs and traveling on my own to promote myself, pretty much. And It took a while. It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like, oh, you're on the show, and then, bam, you have all this money.
So you for know, you, it was almost like a jump start. It felt like it jump started you. It, you know, it got you some recognition. And like you said, you know, they're herd cattle, and, you know, then the show's done and you're disposed of. But at the same time, there seems to be people who really got what you were doing that stuck by you.
Totally,
Which really helped give a jump start, which is really cool.
Yeah, they're really great.
And it probably would have been more difficult for you to find those people. You know, if you were doing everything by yourself, you didn't have America's Got Talent as a platform to kind of get into these people's TV screens and or YouTube or however they saw you, it gave you a really good platform to meet these people and to, you know, connect with them, new fans.
Totally, yeah. And they're really great. And then there's, you know, there's the ones that didn't stick around for the long run, because they were the ones who really got me and said, you know, this taught them a valuable lesson, I suppose, of, you know, don't judge people based on their looks. And, you know, and it doesn't really matter what we all look like. We have the right to be individuals, and doesn't mean we can't be friends, kind of thing. But then there are the other people that claim to love me and be my fans, but they just wish I would dress differently. You know, and it's
interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like much support to me. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, he's so great and he's so talented. If only he got rid of the ridiculous contact lenses. It's like, I don't even know you. Why am I going to take my shit off with you? Like,
thank you. Yes, exactly. I think the appeal is that you don't look like the typical opera singer. You know what I mean? I think that to talk about visual, I think that's one of the reasons that you were a favorite on the show, that you were different. It gives people, you know, a feeling like, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't need to look just like everybody else to be on a show like that, or to get, you know, fans and to grow a following. You know, I think that was part of the appeal. So, I mean, you know, I think there's always going to be people that want to change you, especially in the music industry. You know?
Yeah, well, I would think that people would be over it by now. And then there was a point where I started getting really angry, because I was still working on you know, music and traveling and performing. And for some reason, I thought at that point people would just be over the way I looked and they would just listen to the music, but they weren't. And I started lashing back at people, you know, and they were upset, because I pretty much said, you know, if you don't like it, then fuck off, you know? And, you know, then they were all offended and like, you know, you're not supposed to talk like that. You know, you have fans and you're going to upset lots of people. And I was like, no, my fans know how I talk. Trust me. You know, and if
yeah,
you don't
that's
like,
part of the appeal, like, that you're being yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's like, I'm not going to kiss your ass because I was on America's Got Talent. Like, that they portrayed me, or that's the person I was at the time. I was very shy. I didn't speak my mind, and I just pretty much did whatever anyone told me to do. And now that I've seen the world, or lots of it, and met a lot of people, I've grown through my experience. And you know, I'm not saying I'm a mean person. I'm not. I could be probably one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. But you know, if it's something so ignorant as the way I look is bothering you, then yeah, I'm going to tell you to fuck yourself. Like,
that's
I don't
right,
care.
Man. No, it just seems like you come to your own. You've learned to be assertive. You know what I mean? And I think it's growing a little bit, you know, and also I think, like you said, dealing with that for so long, people not, you know, just focusing on the fact that you look a certain way. You know what I mean? And because you want to, whatever, you know, and especially, I think, especially if they're saying they like what you do, but they hate the way you look.
Yeah. And then they always want to be like, they want to like overanalyze it and say, you know, is he dressing this way to hide his true self? That's,
you know, what I want to ask you though, because I would say out of all the judges that Sharon Osbourne seemed to really get you. And she seemed she seemed to be really supportive of you. What's it like off the cameras? You know, is it just
do you really get to see them very much, you know, when the cameras are off, or is it pretty much you're only with the judges and when the cameras are on?
You know, I've never actually got to meet them, and I've never shaken their hands. The only time that I was close to them I was close to Sharon was when I first auditioned in Austin, and when they pulled me backstage, and then I was still back there after the show was over. And I just saw her walk past me. She was really short, and it caught me off guard. But no, I never got to meet them. So I honestly don't know what it's like when the cameras are off. Although I have seen Nick Cannon when the cameras are off, and he looks tired. He looks really tired. cool guy, but I think he's over it.
Would you say that after you're off the show, that the momentum slowly slowed down? You know, obviously from the huge crowds, or was it just a sudden, like, switch to, you know, the massive amounts of people that were supporting you, to the true fans, I like to call it, the people who really get you? And how was that switch? How was that transition? And how's it been?
Well, fresh off the show, I was still writing on the coattails of that fame, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so when I was traveling, I didn't really know how to cope with it, to be honest. And so what I would do was drink a lot of whiskey. So that's what I would do. Not anymore.
Right.
But at the time, I was like, I don't know how to deal with this. And, you know, so I just said, if I get drunk, and then I'll get dressed and then go do a performance. You know what I mean? Because then I won't care.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's not the case, which is good. But some people were still there, and they said, you know, like I was saying, you know, that they can't wait for me to get rid of this look and to go on to something else. And that, I think that's what they were hoping. I think actually that's what they wanted, was a before and after type of thing. Like, this was what he used to be, but now he has confidence and he will no longer dress this way and he will be better. And I gave my middle finger to that idea, and I was like, you know, why would I want to do that? Like, I you know, the whole message was that I was, you know, harassed because of the way I looked. And, you know, this is just the way I look. And I think at some point last year, early last year, was when it was a very quick switch. And the real fans were there. And then the ones that just were not having it anymore, they left, you know. So now I know who my real fans are. And they're really, really great. And a lot of them come to every show that I do. And they every single day keep track of what I'm doing, so that they can have whatever next song is out or whatever it is that I'm doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's really great.
That's all that really matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so much more important to have, I don't want to say a smaller, I'm just saying relatively smaller group of fans that are really, really get what you're doing and are really supportive of you, rather than a large amount.
Yeah,
just don't
quality,
get it.
Quality over quantity.
Thanks for simplifying that better.
You know, no problem.
Going on, but you know, quality over quantity, man. Exactly. That's exactly. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, and they're great, and they come from all different ages. You know,
right.
they are usually 13-year-old kids who feel like outcasts in school, and they want that drive, you know, to do something better for themselves and prove themselves right. You know, that they don't have to dress or listen to the same music that other people listen to just to be normal. Being normal is boring, anyways.
Well, what is normal, right? It's all relative, anyway.
Yeah, I have no idea what normal even means.
Exactly.
Like, I've said it many times, I didn't know I was weird until someone told me I was weird.
I love that. That's great. So if there's anybody listening right now, you know, what advice would you give to them if they're contemplating whether or not to go on one of these shows and use them, you know, as a platform for themselves? What would you say?
I'd say it's never easy. You know what I mean? It's hard work trying to get where you want to get. And a lot of doors will be slammed in your face. It happened to me lots of times before someone finally lets you in and then gives you a chance to do what you want to do. But I'd say go for it, because, you know, as cliche as it sounds, you'll never know unless you try, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you do go and it doesn't work out the way that you wanted it to, at least you tried. And that is actually what matters the most, is that you tried.
Well, for you, it seems like you didn't lose anything. If anything, you gained something, you know. First of all, you gained, you know, dedicated fans out of it, but besides that, you gained experience. It seems like you found, you know, learned a lot about yourself through the experience. So, you know, it does seem like overall, like, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like it was a positive experience on the whole.
Absolutely, because, you know, it brought a lot of dark side out, a lot of depression, and it was, because I was still in a place where I was trying to discover who I was. You know, and I started questioning, you know, are these people right? Should I stop dressing this way? Should I stop being this way? It doesn't even have to do with the clothes. It's just my mentality, mm-hmm. You know. And then there was the other side of me saying, you know, no, stick to it because that's who you are. You know, it shouldn't matter just because it's, you know, huge television show. You shouldn't change who you are. So, but overall, yeah, it was definitely a positive experience. And I couldn't be happier with how things turned out. Plus, I'm going to say this every time they ask me, but I got to meet Dee Snider, so I thought that was awesome.
Well, it's also I always talk about the difference between who you are and what you are. Like, I wouldn't consider it the way you dress or look or anything to be who you are. It's just, it's more of what you are, I guess, like what people look at you to, you know, as an image. But, you know, who you are inside, that nothing, none of that matters. You know what I mean? So, but the fact that people would be telling you that the way that you're wanting to represent yourself on the external is wrong, you know, I can kind of agree with you. The immediate kind of thought is to say, no, fuck you. I'm not going to, you know, maybe I was thinking about not dressing this way, but now I'm definitely going to dress this way just because you told me not to. Yeah. Right? It's the rebel in you, right?
I think I still have that mentality because, like,
I do too.
I really do, because I jokingly told my dad, I think it was a year ago, that I was going to chop off my hair and dye it blue. And he was very angry, didn't realize I was kidding, and he said, "You better not, because then no one will recognize you." And I was like, I could give two shits if people recognize me. That's not why I do this. No. I just, you know. So when he went to work, I told my mom, I was like, "Will you help me?" And she was like, "Sure." So we chopped off my hair, went to the store, bought all the bleach and the hair dye. When he got home, my hair was blue and all chopped off.
But you weren't going to do it in the first place.
No, I was just kidding. because he said, "Don't do it," I did it.
Like, I totally agree, man. I mean, I totally relate to that. I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's some sort of childhood trauma or something we experienced. But it's just that idea, you know, if you don't want me to do something, don't tell me not to do it.
Yeah, I think I've always been that way since a kid. Like, when my mom would say, "Don't watch that movie because it's really violent and, you know, really scary."
Of course you're going to watch it.
Yeah, I was like, "What makes it so scary? Now I'm dying to see it." And then I can see it. Have nightmares, of course.
So since you've been on America's Got Talent, you've put out some music. You've released your first record.
Yeah.
And you're currently working on a new album? Dark Tales?
Yeah, it's called Dark Tales.
Want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the first one was an independent record, and that one was, like I said, since I think I was still a little bit fresh off the show, and the message was still, you know, the whole inspirational, be yourself kind of thing, and that's what I wanted to write about. So most of the music on the first album is about that, you know, and... But then after that one was put out, I really, really wanted to write about my experiences before the show and after, and how I've handled them differently. You know, the same types of situations, but how who I've become has made me react in a different way. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking... I think really theatrically, because I was a theater kid and I'm obsessed with movies. Nice. So I started thinking, how could I tell them in a way that is not super cliche? And I started thinking of using horror stories as metaphors almost. So like I'd sing a song about vampires, but what I really mean is, you know, it's a song about me being emotionally drained. You know what I mean? Things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was really, at the time, the first album was very poppy, and this time around I was very inspired by lots of dark, not necessarily like power metal, but like dark hard rock, but that touched on different subjects like sexuality and individuality and things like that, and why people look at things as a taboo. It's pretty much just an album of me questioning everything and not making statements necessarily, but still trying to discover where I am right now. So I called it Dark Tales, and they're just tales of dark experiences, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool, actually. And, you know, could you cite any of the actual specific influences that influenced your first album versus your latest album?
Like musical influence?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Don't laugh at me. With the first
I can't
one
promise I... anything.
I'm waiting.
Now I'm
going to
laugh.
I can't wait.
We just went through this.
Okay. With the first album, I was listening to a lot of Cranberries.
Oh, awesome band, man.
But I was also listening to, this explains the pop, I was listening to a lot of Lady Gaga.
Yeah, nothing to laugh at there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. She's a good songwriter.
Specifically the album Born This Way.
Yeah.
Because it was so good. And, you know, that's all we did was we would hang out in the studio, have a few beers, and blast that album. And we'd just be like, man, imagine if we could do a song like that and that and that. So I won't say we ripped off Born This Way, because we didn't. But we were definitely inspired by it to create something, you know, with a message. And because it sounds nothing like Born This Way. But this new one, I was listening to a lot of Deftones.
Nice.
And
great band.
The Cure. I was listening to a lot of
Pink, listening to the Cure, man.
Yeah, Pink Floyd was a huge part also. And Marilyn Manson album, a very specific one called Eat Me Drink Me, which was his most personal album.
Oh yeah.
And I won't say depressing music, but you know, stuff like that.
I'm a huge Manson fan myself, right back from the Antichrist Superstar.
Are you? I did not know this. Oh, yeah. But I knew you used to listen to Marilyn Manson. I didn't know you were so. Like, I listened to Marilyn Manson up until, what album was it he released? The one that had Obscene on it. That was probably the last album that I listened to. Obscene.
Yeah. Oh, the Golden Age of Grotesque.
That's probably the last one that I bought.
I got into him with, he had put out an EP, Smells Like Children. Terrible title. that was really just about, I think, you know, getting his image out there as a, you know, and it worked well. But I think Antichrist Superstar has such a great album. Mechanical Animals, ridiculous. You know, after Eat Me, Drink Me, I kind of slowly lost interest. I think the quality of the material just kind of diminished, really. I think him as a person, as an artist, is really interesting. You know, I as an overall human being, is really interesting. But anyway, are you ready for 20 questions?
Okay. Yes.
Hit our light.
No one's sure how to answer that question.
And here we go. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Pizza or potatoes?
Pizza.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Melody or rhythm?
Melody.
Opera or metal?
Ooh, metal.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Rain.
Sharon or Ozzy Osbourne?
Ozzy.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Cats or rats?
Cats.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Bolton.
Oh, yes! We got another one. Twerk or work?
Work.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Gervais.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Bette Midler.
Ross or Marcio?
Marcio.
In your face, Ross.
See you guys, Emily.
Oh, don't be such a baby. <I'm just kidding. laughs> We already asked you what influenced your albums, but do you have any music recommendations for our listeners right now? What should they be listening to right now, besides your music?
What should they be listening to? I just had a mental queef. I don't know. You know, I'm one of those people. I don't try to listen to anything new. So I'm usually listening to the same thing. I love movie soundtracks. Like Rocky Horror is my favorite. You know what? I have been listening to a lot of Evanescence lately.
Nice.
And The Kidney Thieves. I don't know if people know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Static X. Slayer. Do it.
Classic. So where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter, Andrew Leo De Leon. You know, I don't use Facebook much, but you can find me on Facebook as well.
And your website?
My current website is andrewleodeleon.com.
Okay.
And you can also find music and stuff on YouTube. Just Google YouTube my name, and I will pop up. And there are songs on there that weren't released on iTunes. I don't know why. Excuse me. I'm probably the classiest one you've had on this show, am I?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. No, in all serious, brother, this has been great. Thanks for coming on the show. We'd love to have you back. We'll need to class it up every now and then, so I'll make sure to bring it back.
It was definitely a lot of fun. It's a lot more fun than other interviews, you know.
Cool. Well, that's good. That's kind of what we're aiming for.
That's the aim of the show, yeah.
Actually, I don't even think this was an interview. I think we were just talking.
Good, I'm glad you said no. In all seriousness, that's like, I know you're laughing, Russ, but that's our goal, you know. This kind of conversation and stuff comes out, you know. All right, take care, brother.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Fun fact, I guess the other ones are pretty obvious, you know, that I love music and I love taking care of my family.
Aw, those are all really, those are awesome.
And my dogs.
You've been singing since you were a child?
I mean, technically, but it wasn't like the way I sing now, at least. It was right. Just whatever my dad was playing around the house. It was usually like rock or country music.
Would you say you were exposed to kind of a very diverse early influence of music?
Oh yeah, it was always like Def Leppard and Pink Floyd, and but he also listened to a lot of like Mexican music along with my mom, so there was lots of styles. And then I was, you know, growing up in the 90s listening to Britney Spears.
right.
Yeah, so yeah, I was definitely exposed to all that.
You're pretty much just someone who sang in your bedroom, hidden talent, no one ever heard you until you decided to go on America's Got Talent.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what was that like?
Well, I wouldn't even say that it was like me hiding my talent, because I didn't call it a talent. I just thought it was something I did for fun. And what eventually it started off as just being fun for myself, and then it became somewhat of a growing passion. And it was like really, really secret, because I thought it, even for myself to think, it was ridiculous in my mind for a guy to sing that way. So, but I almost didn't go to that audition because about a month before they were holding Disney auditions here in Austin. And I don't know what I was thinking. It was for like resorts and all that shit. So I said, whatever, I'll go. And I went, and as soon as we pulled up, I saw the line of kids. And I looked nothing like any of them. Like, they all looked like early Justin Bieber, Hannah Montana shit. And then I looked at myself and I was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. So I didn't even get out of the car. And I had my mom drive me. And she was like, you're not even going to get out of the car. We drove all this way. And I was like, no, fuck this. And she was like, okay. But, you know, anytime there's like another audition or whatever you need to be driven to, I'm not taking you. Hmm. And I was like, fine. Well, a month later, on TV, I see, you know, this, the infomercial for America's Got Talent says, you know, we're in Austin, and, you know, if you think you have what it takes, come audition. So I was like, I was really thinking about it, and then I just asked her, and she said no, she wasn't going to take me. and then I was like, why? She's like, well, first of all, I don't even know what you're going to do, and second of all, I told you the last time that I'm not taking you to any more auditions because you won't even get out of the car because you're such a chicken shit. And I threw the biggest bitch fit. Like, we got home and I like went, it was like typical angry teenager stuff. I went to my room, slammed the door, and my dad walked in and was like, you know, why are you slamming doors? What's wrong? And I told him, and he was just like, oh, well, I'll take you. And I was like, okay. I go, okay. And that was it.
I won.
Yeah, exactly. But I was so scared before I went. Like, I was texting all my friends, and they were like, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm singing. And they were like, well, what are you singing? I said, that's the problem. I don't really want to say, because if I told people what I was going to do, I feel like they were already going to start judging, and then I would have started doubting myself even more. and then I wouldn't have gone in the first place, you know? So I just kept it a secret, and people don't really believe me when I say that nobody knew about it.
You know what, though? I like that you say that, because I can relate to that. I find that, you know, as an artist, I mean, we're very sensitive, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I often do try to keep what I'm, like, say if I'm working on something new and it's very fresh, I do keep that away from people usually, because we're easy to doubt ourselves, I think. And, I mean, why not just kind of protect yourself from that, keep yourself away from it a little bit to keep yourself in a positive, you know, state, so that, like you said, you can do what you're doing without having anyone else's negativity go into your mind and kind of mess with that, you know, initial feeling of I'm just going to go for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, because it's something that actually, it's what you do as an artist. You know, it means everything to you, and it's actually very easy to hurt an artist's feelings by saying, you know, that something that they created is shit or whatever they're doing. You know what I mean? It's something that I do take to heart.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why I didn't tell anyone, because I had been doing it for years in my bedroom or just around the house when everybody was gone, because I didn't have a job. I wasn't going to school. And my brother and sister were, and my parents had jobs, obviously. So I was at home a lot by myself. So that's really all I did, was just sing every day. I'm pretty sure I probably annoyed the neighbors.
So the neighbors probably knew you sang.
They probably
no one else
did.
Knew.
Well, you know, they probably thought I was watching the same movie every day. Like, that's probably what it was, but...
So what was it like when you initially went to audition and then everything that led up to actually being on the show?
Yeah, right. There's, well, actually, that has a lot to do with why people don't believe that it was the first time. There's people don't understand that there is such thing as a producer's audition.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do go to an audition, but it's very private. And from there, they decide if they want you to go on the show. But of course, it's not like I'm going to go up and say... You know, I've never sung in front of anyone, minus the producer of this show. That was one thing. And then it's actually really interesting seeing, like, comments on these videos. I don't read them much because people can be really brutal online. But I've read some of
them.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, you know, he's an actor. He doesn't really dress that way. And he's lying. And they probably hired him to make the show better.
Oh,
you know, and it's... And it's crazy when you see stuff like that, because I actually think I used to have that mentality when I would watch mm-hmm. these shows. And then I thought I was the only one that was not lying for a while. And I was like, wait a minute, now I get it. You know, this is when it's actually true. And sometimes it seems too good to be true, but it actually is true, you know.
It must be a really weird kind of process, especially if you've not done anything like remotely on that scale before, like just kind of being thrown in, and then all of a sudden people know who you are, and you've just done this big thing. And it must be, was it difficult to like adjust when people started to know who you were? Like, what was that like?
Well, I remember after I auditioned in front of the judges, and you know, they took me backstage and explained everything to me, and then, you know, it was all over, and I walked out of the building, and there were several people out there wanting pictures. And that had never happened to me before. And of course, I was more than happy to. But, you know, I kind of thought, oh, okay, I can, you know, I can work with this. It wasn't until I got to Vegas, not Vegas, it was New York, where it became a little bit overwhelming, and I had to question myself if I was ready for it, because I had just performed that night on the Wildcard episode. And exiting the building, there were, I think, hundreds of people standing outside the building. They weren't allowed in, but the doors were all glass, so they could see me coming, and they started screaming. And I didn't know what to do. I was so scared. So I just went outside, and I think I stood there for about an hour or two just signing shit and taking
That's
pictures.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, and I was more than happy to do it, you know, I appreciate that kind of stuff, you know?
Of course.
And I walked to my hotel, which was right next door, and went up to my room, and for some reason, it was like, you ever heard of, like, vampirism? Where your energy is, like, drained from you?
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Like, I got to my room, and I felt physically drained, and it wasn't from the performance at all. It was from meeting, you know, fans.
Hmm. Right.
Well, I know people that have had a similar kind of experience, that like when they've played a gig and it'll be every night on the tour, they maybe spend 45 minutes or so at the merch table signing stuff and meeting their fans. And yeah, afterwards, they're just completely drained. It's like there's all that adrenaline from playing the show, uh-huh. and that kind of fuels them. And then as soon as it's done, like you can see it in their face. It just, they're done. Like for the whole day, like that's it. They're
and
done.
You're giving so much of yourself, right? And you know, there is a value in that. It's amazing, but you know, you also, I think that just needs to be balanced out with, I guess, me time. You know, just that little bit of time to just kind of bring yourself to a like for me, I do yoga. You know what I mean? What did you do to bring yourself to ground yourself?
Well, you know, as bad as it probably will sound, when it comes to stuff like that, the last thing I want to do is listen to music because I'm so involved, you know, that, but that time there was actually a little bit of depression in there also, because I didn't know where I was like, you know, is this going to take off or is this going to be something that just lasts a little while and then mm-hmm. it's gone and no one gives a shit who you are. But if it does take off, you know, is this every day? Is that what it's going to be? And so I think I just went to bed. I just went to bed, and I'm one of those people that likes to like fill voids with food. Mm-hmm. And I eat a lot more than people think I do. So that's pretty much what I did in the morning. The next day I didn't have to do anything. So I just went down to the lobby and bought a whole bunch of junk food and went upstairs, stuffed my face. But that's another thing that was actually, that got to me a bit was the next day I didn't have to do anything until the night. And it was after that performance, it was like, okay, now that that performance is over, it's on to the next one. We have to start planning it, you know? So there's really no time to rest. I just had one day, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so it's weird because obviously with the way the shows are edited, as viewers, we probably don't think of it in that way. We don't realize like what the schedule's like. And like, I always hear people, you know, talking about these kind of shows and say, oh, it's like the easy route or whatever. And it's, I don't think it is. Like, it's, I think it's a lot more work than people realize.
Uh-huh.
So you can probably,
I'm going to be honest to say, I'm someone who thinks that, you know what I mean? I'm on the show right here. I'm going to tell you, like, I'm someone who thinks like it's the easy route, or I've thought that way. I mean, you know, and I mean, I guess the way I'm looking at it is it's just a different route, and there's no really right route. I mean, any way you can get yourself out there, you know, and get some recognition for something that you're doing, it's silly not to, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it's right for everybody.
It's very true, because I've seen the show before, and you think they go audition, and if they make it, you know, it's all done, you know, and then you're famous, and it doesn't work that way, and it's what sucks about it. It's they're herding cattle, in other words. You know, they start with all these talents, and they're all, you know, being shot off one by one, you know, until it's down to the favorites. And if you're one of the favorites, you get more attention from the crew.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of those that got way more attention, and I hate attention. So, you know, when it's like constantly calling me and telling me, okay, you need to be here for this meeting, and then you need to go here for rehearsals, and then stage direction at this time, and then you get like a 30-minute lunch break, and then you got to come back for this and this and this. It's like, ugh, fuck my life, you know? So, but I couldn't complain because, you know, I think I knew what I was getting myself into.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you were saying, a lot of people think that it's the easy way. And I guess for some people it kind of is, because, you know, if you're usually, even if you don't win these competitions, you're still offered some type of deal. And it didn't work that way with me. I think after the show was over, I was pretty much disposable, and they didn't really want to use me anymore you know, help me sign to something or some, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. So after that, I was knocked back down. Still had fans, though, that were very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make a name for myself on my own by booking my own gigs and traveling on my own to promote myself, pretty much. And it took a while. It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like, oh, you're on the show, and then, bam, you have all this money.
So you for you, it was almost like a jump start. It felt like it jump started you. It, you know, it got you some recognition. And like you said, you know, they're herd cattle, and, you know, then the show's done and you're disposed of. But at the same time, there seems to be people who really got what you were doing that stuck by you.
Totally,
you know,
which
really helped give a jump start, which is really cool.
Yeah, they're really great.
And it probably would have been more difficult for you to find those people. You know, if you were doing everything by yourself and you didn't have America's Got Talent as a platform to kind of get into these people's TV screens and or YouTube or however they saw you, it gave you a really good platform to meet these people and to, you know, connect with them, new fans.
Totally, yeah. And they're really great. And then there's, you know, there's the ones that didn't stick around for the long run, because they were the ones who really got me and said, you know, this taught them a valuable lesson, I suppose, of, you know, don't judge people based on their looks. And, you know, and then it doesn't really matter what we all look like. We have the right to be individuals, and doesn't mean we can't be friends, kind of thing. But then there are the other people that claim to love me and be my fans, but they just wish I would dress differently. You know, and it's
interesting.
It doesn't sound like much support to me. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, he's so great and he's so talented. If only he got rid of the ridiculous contact lenses. It's like, I don't even know you. Why am I going to take my shit off with you?
Like, thank you. Yes, exactly. I think the appeal is that you don't look like the typical opera singer. You know what I mean? I think that to talk about visual, I think that's one of the reasons that you were a favorite on the show, that you were different. It gives people, you know, a feeling like, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't need to look just like everybody else to be on a show like that, or to get, you know, fans and to grow a following. No, I think that was part of the appeal. So, I mean, you know, I think there's always going to be people that want to change, especially in the music industry. You know?
Yeah, well, I would think that people would be over it by now. And then there was a point where I started getting really angry, because I was still working on you know, music and traveling and performing. And for some reason, I thought at that point people would just be over the way I looked and they would just listen to the music, but they weren't. And I started lashing back at people, you know, and they were upset, because I pretty much said, you know, if you don't like it, then fuck off, you know? And, you know, then they were all offended and like, you know, you're not supposed to talk like that. You know, you have fans and you're going to upset lots of people. And I was like, no, my fans know how I talk. Trust me. You know, and if
again,
you don't
that's
like,
part of the appeal that you're being yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's like, I'm not going to kiss your ass because I was on America's Got Talent. Like, that they portrayed me, or that's the person I was at the time. I was very shy. I didn't speak my mind, and I just pretty much did whatever anyone told me to do. And now that I've seen the world, or lots of it, and met a lot of people, I've grown through my experience. And you know, I'm not saying I'm a mean person. I'm not. I could be probably one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. But you know, if it's something so ignorant as the way I look is bothering you, then yeah, I'm going to tell you to fuck yourself. Like,
that's
I don't
right,
care.
Man. No, it just seems like you come to your own. You've learned to be assertive. You know what I mean? And I think it's growing a little bit, you know, and also I think, like you said, dealing with that for so long, people not, you know, just focusing on the fact that you look a certain way. You know what I mean? And because you want to, I mean, whatever, you know, and especially, I think, especially if they're saying they like what you do, but they hate the way you look.
Yeah. And then they always want to be like, they want to like overanalyze it and say, you know, is he dressing this way to hide his true self? And it's,
you know, what I want to ask you though, because I would say out of all the judges that Sharon Osbourne seemed to really get you, and she seemed to be really supportive of you. What's it like off the cameras? You know, is it just
do you really get to see them very much, you know, when the cameras are off, or is it pretty much you're only with the judges and when the cameras are on?
You know, I've never actually got to meet them, and I've never shaken their hands. The only time that I was close to them was, I was close to Sharon, was when I first auditioned in Austin, and when they pulled me backstage, and then I was still back there after the show was over. And I just saw her walk past me. She was really short, and it caught me off guard. But no, I never got to meet them. So I honestly don't know what it's like when the cameras are off. Although I have seen Nick Cannon when the cameras are off, and he looks tired. He looks really tired. Cool guy, but I think he's over it.
Would you say that after you're off the show, that the momentum slowly slowed down? You know, obviously from the huge crowds, or was it just a sudden like switch to, you know, the massive amounts of people that were supporting you to the true fans, I like to call it, the people who really get you. And how was that switch? How was that transition? And how's it been?
Well, fresh off the show, I was still writing on the coattails of that fame, you know what I mean? And so when I was traveling, I didn't really know how to cope with it, to be honest. And so what I would do was drink a lot of whiskey. So that's what I would do. Not anymore.
Right.
But at the time, I was like, I don't know how to deal with this. And, you know, so I just said, if I get drunk, and then I'll get dressed and then go do a performance. You know what I mean? Because then I won't care. Mm-hmm. Now that's not the case, which is good. But some people were still there and they said, you know, like I was saying, you know, that they can't wait for me to get rid of this look and to go on to something else. And that, I think that's what they were hoping. I think actually that's what they wanted, was a before and after type of thing. Like, this was what he used to be, but now he has confidence and he will no longer dress this way and he will be better. And I gave my middle finger to that idea. And I was like, you know, why would I want to do that? Like, I, you know, the whole message was that I was, you know, harassed because of the way I looked. And, you know, this is just the way I look. And I think at some point last year, early last year, was when it was a very quick switch. And the real fans were there. And then the ones that just were not having it anymore, they left, you know. So now I know who my real fans are. And they're really, really great. And a lot of them come to every show that I do. And they every single day keep track of what I'm doing so that they can have whatever next song is out or whatever it is that I'm doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's really great.
That's all that really matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so much more important to have, I don't want to say a smaller, I'm just saying relatively smaller group of fans that are really, really get what you're doing and are really supportive of you rather than a large amount.
Yeah,
just don't
quality,
get it.
Quality over quantity. Quantity.
Thanks for simplifying that better.
You know, no problem.
Going on, but you know, quality over quantity, man. Exactly. That's exactly. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, and they're great, and they come from all different ages. You know,
right.
they are usually 13-year-old kids who feel like outcasts in school, and they want that drive, you know, to do something better for themselves and prove themselves right. You know, that they don't have to dress or listen to the same music that other people listen to just to be normal. Being normal is boring, anyways.
Well, what is normal, right? It's all relative, anyway.
Yeah, I have no idea what normal even means.
Exactly.
Like, I've said it many times, I didn't know I was weird until someone told me I was weird.
I love that. That's great. So if there's anybody listening right now, you know, what advice would you give to them if they're contemplating whether or not to go on one of these shows and use them, you know, as a platform for themselves? What would you say?
I'd say it's never easy. You know what I mean? It's hard work trying to get where you want to get. And a lot of doors will be slammed in your face. It happened to me lots of times before someone finally lets you in and then gives you a chance to do what you want to do. But I say go for it, because, you know, as cliche as it sounds, you'll never know unless you try. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you do go and it doesn't work out the way that you wanted it to, at least you tried. And that is actually what matters the most, is that you tried.
Well, for you, it seems like you didn't lose anything. If anything, you gained something, you know. First of all, you gained, you know, dedicated fans out of it, but besides that, you gained experience. It seems like you found, you know, learned a lot about yourself through the experience. So, you know, it does seem like overall, like, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like it was a positive experience on the whole.
Absolutely, because, you know, it brought a lot of dark side out, a lot of depression, and it was, because I was still in a place where I was trying to discover who I was. You know, and I started questioning, you know, are these people right? Should I stop dressing this way? Should I stop being this way? It doesn't even have to do with the clothes. It's just my mentality, mm-hmm. You know. And then there was the other side of me saying, you know, no, stick to it because that's who you are. You know, it shouldn't matter just because it's, you know, huge television show. You shouldn't change who you are. So, but overall, yeah, it was definitely a positive experience, and I couldn't be happier with how things turned out. Plus, I'm going to say this every time they ask me, but I got to meet Dee Snider, so I thought that was awesome.
Well, it's also the, you know, I always talk about the difference between who you are and what you are. Like, I wouldn't consider it the way you dress or look or anything to be who you are. It's just, it's more of what you are, I guess, like what people look at you to, you know, as an image. But, you know, who you are inside, that nothing, none of that matters. You know what I mean? So, but the fact that people would be telling you that the way that you're wanting to represent yourself on the external is wrong, you know, I can kind of agree with you. The immediate kind of thought is to say, no, fuck you. I'm not going to, you know, maybe I was thinking about not dressing this way, but now I'm definitely going to dress this way just because you told me not to. Yeah. Right? It's the rebel in you, right?
I think I still have that mentality because, like,
I do too.
I really do, because I jokingly told my dad, I think it was a year ago, that I was going to chop off my hair and dye it blue. And he was very angry, didn't realize I was kidding, and he said, you better not, because then no one will recognize you. And I was like, I could give two shits if people recognize me. That's not why I do this. So no. I just, you know. So when he went to work, I told my mom, I was like, will you help me? And she was like, sure. So we chopped off my hair, went to the store, bought all the bleach and the hair dye. When he got home, my hair was blue and all chopped off.
But you weren't going to do it in the first place.
No, I was just kidding. because he said, don't do it, I did it.
Like, I totally agree, man. I mean, I totally relate to that. I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's some sort of childhood trauma or something we experienced. But it's just that idea, you know, if you don't want me to do something, don't tell me not to do it.
Yeah, I think I've always been that way since a kid. Like, when my mom would say, don't watch that movie because it's really violent and, you know, really scary.
Of course you're going to watch it.
Yeah, I was like, what makes it so scary? Now I'm dying to see it. Yeah, and then I see it. Have nightmares, of course.
So since you've been on America's Got Talent, you've put out some music. You've released your first record.
Yeah.
And you're currently working on a new album? Dark Tales?
Yeah, it's called Dark Tales.
Want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the first one was an independent record, and that one was, like I said, since I think I was still a little bit fresh off the show, and the message was still, you know, the whole inspirational, be yourself kind of thing, and that's what I wanted to write about. So most of the music on the first album is about that, you know, and... But then after that one was put out, I really, really wanted to write about my experiences before the show and after, and how I've handled them differently, you know, the same types of situations, but how who I've become has made me react in a different way. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking... Because I think really theatrically, because I was a theater kid and I'm obsessed with movies. Nice. So I started thinking, how could I tell them in a way that is not super cliche? And I started thinking of using horror stories as metaphors almost. So like I'd sing a song about vampires, but what I really mean is, you know, it's a song about me being emotionally drained. You know what I mean? Things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was really, at the time, the first album was very poppy, and this time around I was very inspired by lots of dark, not necessarily like power metal, but like dark hard rock, but that touched on different subjects like sexuality and individuality and things like that, and why people look at things as a taboo. It's pretty much just an album of me questioning everything and not making statements necessarily, but still trying to discover where I am right now. So I called it Dark Tales, and they're just tales of dark experiences, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool, actually. And, you know, could you cite any of the actual specific influences that influenced your first album versus your latest album?
Like musical influence?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Don't laugh at me. With the first
I can't
one,
promise I... anything.
I'm waiting.
Now I'm
going to
laugh.
I can't wait.
We just went through this.
Okay. With the first album, I was listening to a lot of Cranberries.
Oh, awesome band, man.
But I was also listening to, this explains the pop, I was listening to a lot of Lady Gaga.
Yeah, nothing to laugh at there.
I mean, yeah. She's a good songwriter.
Specifically the album Born This Way.
Yeah.
Because it was so good, and you know, that's all we did was we would hang out in the studio, have a few beers and blast that album. And we'd just be like, man, imagine if we could do a song like that and that and that. So I won't say we ripped off Born This Way, because we didn't, but we were definitely inspired by it to create something, you know, with a message. And because it sounds nothing like Born This Way. But this new one, I was listening to a lot of Deftones.
Nice.
And
great band.
The Cure. I was listening to a lot of
Pink. Listening to The Cure, man.
Yeah, Pink Floyd was a huge part also. And Marilyn Manson album, a very specific one called Eat Me, Drink Me, which was his most personal album.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't say depressing music, but, you know, stuff like that.
I'm a huge Manson fan myself, right back from the Antichrist Superstar.
Are you? I did not know this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I knew you used to listen to Marilyn Manson. I didn't know you were so.
Yeah.
Like, I listened to Marilyn Manson up until, what album was it he released? The one that had Obscene on it. That was probably the last album that I listened to. Obscene.
Yeah. Oh, the
Obscene.
Golden Age of Grotesque.
That's probably the last one that I bought.
I got into him with he had put out an EP, Smells Like Children. Terrible title. that was really just about, I think, you know, getting his image out there as a, you know, and it worked well. But I think Antichrist Superstar has such a great album. Mechanical Animals, ridiculous. You know, after Eat Me, Drink Me, I kind of slowly lost interest. I think the quality of the material just kind of diminished, really. I think him as a person, as an artist, is really interesting. You know, I just as an overall human being, it's really interesting. But anyway, are you ready for 20 questions?
Okay. Yes.
Hit our light.
No one's sure how to answer that question.
And here we go. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Pizza or potatoes?
Pizza.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Melody or rhythm?
Melody.
Opera or metal?
Ooh, metal.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Rain.
Sharon or Ozzy Osbourne?
Ozzy.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Cats or rats?
Cats.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Bolton.
Oh,
yes!
We got
another
Michael
one.
Bolton. Twerk or work?
Work.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Gervais.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Bette Midler.
Ross or Marcio?
Marcio.
In your face, Ross.
See you guys. I'm away.
Oh, don't be such a baby. <Just kidding. laughs> We already asked you what influenced your albums, but do you have any music recommendations for our listeners right now? What should they be listening to right now, besides your music?
What should they be listening to? I just had a mental queef. I don't know. You know, I'm one of those people. I don't try to listen to anything new. So I'm usually listening to the same thing. I love movie soundtracks. Like Rocky Horror is my favorite. You know what? I have been listening to a lot of Evanescence lately.
Nice.
And the Kidney Thieves. I don't know if people know who they are.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Static X. Slayer. Do it.
Classic. So where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter, Andrew Leo De Leon. You know, I don't use Facebook much, but you can find me on Facebook as well.
And your website?
My current website is andrewleodeleon.com.
Okay.
And you can also find music and stuff on YouTube. Just Google YouTube my name, and I will pop up. And there are songs on there that weren't released on iTunes. I don't know why. Excuse me. I'm probably the classiest one you've had on this show, am I?
Yeah, sure. No, in all seriousness, brother, this has been great. Thanks for coming on the show. We'd love to have you back. We'll need to class it up every now and then, so we'll have to make sure to bring it back.
It was definitely a lot of fun. It's a lot more fun than other interviews, you know.
Oh, well, that's good. That's kind of what we're aiming for.
That's the aim of the show, yeah.
Actually, I don't even think this was an interview. I think we were just talking.
Good, I'm glad you said no. No, seriously. That's like, I know you're laughing, Russell. That's our goal, you know. This kind of conversation and stuff comes out, you know. All right, take care, brother.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.